Amen. It's always good to be here. Now, a few weeks back, I spoke on a mind aligned to the kingdom. And this morning, I just want to continue a little bit on that. One of the scriptures I am focused on then was Mark 1, 14 to 15. So I'm just going to read it quickly. It reads like this. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, we've unpacked this scripture. And, you know, we looked at an understanding of what the kingdom is, what the kingdom is not, and you know, what has been prepared for us beforehand. So I'm going to just unpack it a little bit more. We're all good with that. Amen. Today's title is Kingdom Relevance. Kingdom Relevance. It's, you know, about a kingdom people, people of purpose. That's us, right? You know, to be relevant, a relevant people in today's world, we need to be a kingdom people. And let me just say this from the beginning. Messages on the kingdom. If we start talking about kingdom right now, we will talk to the day we close our eyes, because there's one thing about the kingdom. It is said that this is an ever-increasing kingdom. An ever-increasing. There's always more revelation, right? But that is why we should always ask for more. The Bible says we do not have because we do not ask. And for that reason, there's always an ever-increasing unveiling in our lives. The kingdom is not just what a lot of people say. You know, in the past, in Jesus' time, when Jesus started talking about the kingdom, those people, you know, they were ready to see the kingdom be established, like in a, you know, politically, in a geographical area. They were ready for that. But we know it is not that. We know that it is so much more. So much more. And that is what Jesus tried to just pour into them. You know, saying that, you know, you're looking at it all wrong. This kingdom, you're looking at it all wrong, guys. And so, there is just, and I think really now, in this time, God is just opening up new understanding in all of this. One thing that we should understand about the kingdom, and I'm going to really bring it down to its most bare form. Okay? I'm going to try and bring it down to its most bare form. The kingdom of God is about His rule. The kingdom of God, it's about God's reign over us, over everything He created. That is the kingdom of God. There is a scripture that says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'll get to that later on. But the kingdom of God is about His reign and His rule, His sovereign reign over everything He created. Right. So this includes everything. The very first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that already should give you a clue. He created the heavens and the earth. So His rule is from heaven to earth. His rule is covering all of it. Now, when he created the earth in the beginning, he did everything, and every time God would just say, it is good, you know, it is good. It's nice when you do something and you look at it and you say, well, I did a good job. Yes. But there was one thing God did that the angels and most probably all of the other principalities did not really expect. He created man. Not only did he create man, he created man in his image and in his likeness. Now, that means the same capacity that's in God, he invested in men. What is in God, he placed in man. He said, you are going to be my image and you're going to be like me, my likeness. Then he went a little bit further. I'm going to read it quickly. Genesis 1:26. Let me read it. Genesis 1 from verse 26, and I'm going to read up to verse 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, not only did God create man in his image, he gave them rule and dominion. Rule and dominion over the things he created on earth. Bible says, over all the earth. Over all the earth. Rule. But how should they rule? What is the criteria of that rule? The criteria is, as it says here, multiply and be fruitful. Right? When you are fruitful, you are bringing forth after your own kind. When you multiply and you are fruitful, you are multiplying and you're being fruitful after your own kind. What's inside of you. Right? So fill the earth with God. Amen. Fill the earth with God. That is the image. That is the likeness. Be fruitful. There's no point of just having children and you are not bringing forth after your own kind. Bring forth the image and the likeness of God. When you speak life. You're reconciling man to God in the words that we speak. That is it. That is the kingdom of God. In the English language, we get the word kingdom. Now, I'm not really so clued up on the Greek translation or what, but in English, there's a word kingdom. And that word can be, you can divide it into two halves. King and Dom. King and Dom. Dom, of course, short for dominion. Right? And when you look at that word, it is literally the first part. When you talk about king, you're talking about the rule of God, his sovereign rule. And when you look at the word dominion, it's the extent of his rule. The things that you rule over. Okay. We are all still with me. So the word kingdom then will literally mean his rule and his reign over the things he created. And you know, it's so important to understand that all of that has been given to us. We are now the people that has been deputized to do that. We are not merely just living and waiting for a time where we will close our eyes and then all of a sudden there will be this unveiling of a kingdom and then we are there. We need to understand that yes, one day we will go to heaven. If you are good Christians, you'll go to heaven. Thank God for that. But yeah, there's a job to do. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, not only did they have dominion, God brought the animals to Adam and he said, give them names. And the Bible says, whatever Adam named them, that was their name. Now, if you really look at that, then you will see the names that Adam gave them was the nature of that animal. So Adam didn't just give names, he gave the animal their character, their nature. Okay? It was all in the word that he spoke, all because of that image. He gave that animal the image, he gave them their nature. Do we really understand what's locked up in here? Do we really understand what we are carrying around? Do you really understand what God deposited into us? If we just can get one glimpse of this, it will change our whole lives. That's why when man fell, you know what God said? Earth, you are cursed because of man. He cursed the ground because the stewards failed. The stewards failed, the ground was cursed. And till today, the whole of creation is waiting to once again see man taking the rightful place. Because they like, God, why us? Why did you curse us? We didn't do anything wrong. But the one that had dominion failed. And earth, the ground, creation was put on hold. And said, whoa, whoa. This is much more than what we have been taught over the years. Last year, Kobus brought a word on the kingdom, and he went into depth, into joy, righteousness, peace. And it's on the website. Please go there. Please read it again. But there is so much that must still be unveiled in our lives. You know, there's a story that I read on the internet once. I don't always spend a lot of time on the internet, except when when I really have to prepare. And I read the story once, and it was a story. It was, I think the heading was called, Where Was Jesus from the Age of 12 to the Age of 30? Because the Bible don't really say anything about him. You know, where was he? You know, there's a certain period where there's a lot of insight, but then all of a sudden, off the radar, you know, and then all of a sudden, age 30, hey, here I am. But so this person, he explained, he said, In the Jewish culture, I think I shared it with our life group. In the Jewish culture, at the age of 12, a father would take his son and start preparing his son for the business. Okay, so if the father, for instance, are a shoemaker, he will start training the son in the trade, and he will start teaching the son the business that they are in. And so, from year to year, a little bit more will be given to the son. You know, he will, a little bit more in-depth training, until one day, the son will be ready to literally run the business. So now the father can take a backseat. That happens at the age of 30. At the age of 30, the father will say, okay, I've taught you everything I know about this business. In fact, this business is now so part of your life. For 18 years, I've invested in you. Everything of this business. Now, it's time for you to start running the business. What the father then will do is he will take his son and he will start introducing his son to his business partners, those people he's doing business with. And he will tell them, this is my son. This is my son. When the father say that, the business partners, knowing that type of language, will immediately understand that from now on, we will have to speak to the son. We don't go directly to the father anymore. The son is now the face of the business. So when Jesus, when his parents was looking for him, they found him with the priests. And they were like, hey, we were looking for you. Where were you? He said, don't you know I'm about my father's business? This is Jesus. Don't you know I'm about my father's business? Then, at the age of 30, all of a sudden, Jesus makes his appearance, and God says, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the whole of creation knew, everybody knew, from now on, no one comes to the Father except through the Son. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Jesus was the first among many brethren. God is raising a corporate son. A corporate son. What we are waiting for is that voice that will say, this is my son, my corporate son. Not a divided son. Not a divided son. A corporate son. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Because then, at that stage, the son will be ready to be the face of his father's business, his kingdom. It's only then where the father will say, now represent me in everything that I am. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, listen guys, this prayer, I'm telling you, if you do a study on this, this prayer is not just, you know, a filler to fill in the gap when you're having your quiet time. This prayer is all about kingdom. All about kingdom. When Jesus, that very first line, our Father who art in heaven. Just that first line. In that very first line, Jesus connected his disciples to sonship. He gave them back their identity as sons. Because before that, when you read the Old Testament, you will read that everybody just said, called God, God. He was God in different forms, but God. But nowhere people refer to Him as my Father. He was God. And Jesus, in that one line, took them back to the Garden of Eden. And He said, this is where you belong. This is your reign. You are sons. You are sons. And the disciples knew that the business can only be handed over to a son. Can never be given to anyone else. The business of God can only, of the kingdom, can only be handed down to a son. Then He carries on and He says, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. When Jesus said that, the disciples knew that. Now, those Jewish guys, they knew the Bible. I'm telling you. Don't think they were just fishermen. They knew the Bible. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. They knew this is connecting us to the rule and the reign of the kingdom. The rule and reign of the kingdom. Because that can only happen when there's a representation on earth. Like Adam was. Adam was an exact representation of God, of what's happening in the heavenlies. He was an exact representation on earth. He ruled earth the same way that God ruled everything. And so when Jesus taught them this prayer, they knew instinctively that this is what's expected. We are reconnected to something deeper than we've ever understood before. In fact, what we've known before was so far off. It was so far off. This is something much deeper than that. This is about bringing heaven to earth. The one thing that we need to understand is that this responsibility will only be handed down to a mature son. And that mature son is a son that has been tested and has been tried over years of testings. You've been tested. You know, the first thing when Jesus said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, the very next verse is, and Jesus were led into the wilderness by who? The Holy Spirit. Why? To be tested. To be tested. Because ultimately, the rule of the kingdom cannot be given to a child. The rule of the kingdom can only be given to an exact representation. An exact representation. This is what the kingdom is all about. It's about an accurate representation in a people called a corporate son. So when God rules, He rules from heaven through His Son Jesus Christ, through a people who's in Him. The Bible says in Acts 14 that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. It's not a free-for-all. What's important to understand is what Beulah said earlier. This kingdom must first come here. Must come first come in this earth. If God's kingdom can't rule in this earth, don't expect Him to rule through you over other areas. Because the kingdom comes like this. It's in us, through us. It must first be established here, in our minds, in our souls. It must first be established here in us. So it comes in here, in us, in this earth, and then do the rest. That is how rule works. And you know what is that? That called when the kingdom comes in here? That's called obedience. It's quite simple. We know this. This is obedience. That obedience is called when Jesus said, I can't do anything if I don't see my Father doing it. That is obedience. The kingdom come to a people that has given their all in obedience to His voice. They've given their all. Jesus only did what He saw His Father did. His life is the perfect example of obedience. His life and that obedience led ultimately to death on the cross. But through that, the kingdom has come. Through that example, the kingdom has come. Obedience is the connection between our lives we live and our minds set on the things above. You know, the first thing that happened when Adam fell, the first thing was his mind, the way he thought, got mixed up. Because what was the first thing he did? He ran and he was hiding and he covered himself. He covered himself. And when God came, He said, Adam, where are you? He responded. He said, Lord, I was afraid because I was naked. I was afraid because I was naked. If you are not obedient, if the kingdom don't come here, then you'll always be afraid and naked. There will be no covering. There will be no covering. That is what Sam Solon always referred to as an orphan mentality. You will always be out there trying to make a living. You will always be out there trying to protect yourself, to provide for yourself. Because in your mind, there's no connection to God. Because if there was, we would understand that He is our provider. He is our protection. Even good Christians today, you know, and I'm not pointing finger. I really just want us to get this. But even good Christians today don't understand kingdom. They don't understand it. And you can see it in their lifestyles. You know how you see it in their lifestyles? By the things that they seek after. The things that we seek after will determine what we are chasing, what is important in our lives. And when we do that, we've already succumbed to, you know, a dual citizen. We're not dual, we are kingdom citizens. We are ambassadors on earth, but we are kingdom citizens. The moment we seek after other things, first, the first thing is we've fallen into the trap of serving two masters. Two masters. And Jesus is very, very strong on this. You can't serve two masters. So either you serve me, God, or you serve Mammon. Now, I just want to make this very clear. I'm not against prosperity. I'm not against prosperity. But if that is your primary reason why you do things that you do, you're serving two masters. If I have to leave my job, for instance, to take on another job, and my reason is they pay me more, then, you know, I think God will have a question mark. But if I go to a different job because God, I'm living God's purpose and this is His purpose for me to go there, then I won't worry about the salary because He's still my provider. If I earn more or if I earn less, He's my provider. You see, we got this whole thing upside down. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto us. But sometimes we go around and we seek all the other things and hope that God will follow with His kingdom. Even when we teach our children, parents, please, you know, I've really, God spoke to me hard this week. When we teach our children with the careers that they need to choose, first teach them how to hear God's voice. First teach them how to get the purposes of God into their lives. First teach them to submit to God, to be obedient to His voice. Then, when they do choose a career, it won't be because of the money. It will be because they want to serve God. They want to bring His kingdom's rule and establish it in where they are. And you know what will happen? The provision of God will follow them. Young people, when you choose a career, submit to God. Submit to God. You know, if we don't understand kingdom, we are in danger of creating something that's in complete opposition to the kingdom of God. We will create something that's in complete opposition, and we think we are busy with the kingdom, but we are not. We are busy establishing our own thrones. And if worked and slaved, you know, your fingers to the bone, and you come home and you are gutted, and you sit there and you say, thank you, Lord, because You've blessed me. I'm not saying it's wrong to work hard. All I'm saying is make sure that when you do it, that it is because you've been obedient to God. Make sure that this is what God is doing, because His provision is where He is. We are representatives and ambassadors of God's kingdom. You know, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he ruled everything, everything. But when you just continue a little bit down, in that same chapter, it says, and everything that he needed was made available to him. Everything. His food, everything he needed, God provided in it. All he had to do was make sure that he rule and reign. How? He brings heaven, what is in heaven, in his Father, to earth. God's kingdom advances through a people, and that people is called a son. I want to read something in Hebrews 2. And even this, I want us to really get an understanding of this verse. Let me just find it. Hebrews 2:5-9. It says here, and I'm going to interrupt myself while I'm reading. For he, is it on the board? Okay, you will see. He, capital letter, speaking about God. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testifies in a certain place, saying, what is man, that is us, that you are mindful of him, small him, small letter, right? So, what is man that you are mindful of man? The son of man that you take care of him, man, we're still talking about man. You have made him, This is us again. A little lower than the angels. You have crowned him, small h, crowned him, this is us, with glory and honor. And set him, this is us, over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, us. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Amen. We need to understand this. This is important, important scriptures. And sometimes, you know, I'm at fault here as well. You read over it, but you read over it because you've heard it so many times. And you kind of read and you don't really think about it. You know, and this week God says, just read with new eyes. Read the same scriptures, but with new eyes. What it says here is, legally, we are sons. Legally, we are the sons of God. But maturely, we must come to that place of rule and reign. So yes, we are sons of God. But we need to grow up into the head, which is Christ. And Christ, who's the head, will only find a resting place in a mature son. And God is not satisfied with lip service. Don't think you can impress God by making the right sounds or saying the right words. God is not impressed with that. He's looking at lives. He's looking at your life. Even if you don't say a word for the rest of your life, the kingdom can still come through you because it is your life that's important, the life we live. Our lives must reflect the kingdom of God in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14 verse 18 says, "For he who serves Christ in these things," now referring to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, "is acceptable to God and approved by men." If that kingdom comes in your life, if the kingdom comes in our lives, we will be acceptable to God and approved by men. We must bring righteousness to earth everywhere we go. In Christ, we became the righteousness of God. Proverbs 21 verse 21 says, "He who earnestly seek after," this is from the Amplified Version, "he who earnestly seek after and craves righteousness, mercy, and loving kindness will find life in addition to righteousness, in addition to uprightness, in addition to right standing with God, and honor." We must bring peace that will surpass all understanding in our lives that we live. Peace that surpasses all understanding. 1 Peter 3 verse 3 in the Amplified says, "Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbedness from fears, agitating passions and moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly." And joy comes in the Holy Spirit. You know why? Why the Bible says, enjoy in the Holy Spirit? Because the Spirit takes from Christ and reveals it to us. He reveals it in us. And when Christ is revealed in us, then there's joy. Psalms 96 says, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before God, for He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Once Christ is revealed in us, then creation will break forth into praise, because this is what they are waiting for. They're waiting for the revealing of the sons. The revealing of the sons. Represent His kingdom everywhere you are and everywhere you go. There must be a representation of the kingdom. You know, if you are at school, represent Him there. If you are at work, represent Him there. If your children, if my children can't see the kingdom come in my life, in my family, then I've already failed the basic part of the kingdom has come, that is in my own family and in my own life. Then I shouldn't even try and put an example at work. It must first happen where I am, in my life and in my family. Then only I can take it to work and everywhere else. Amen? Are we in agreement with this? And I hope, I really hope, and I really bless you that we will seek the things of the kingdom. That we will seek what, you know, we are supposed, as sons of God, we are supposed to take the mysteries, you know, go in, take the mysteries of the kingdom and represent it to earth. We are the ones that should represent it. Our lives should represent it. And so when people look at us, they shouldn't wonder what will heaven be like one day. Because yes, and there's already an accurate representation of it. Amen. Amen? Amen? I bless you guys. Amen.